724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to be with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. A very windy Friday. We've had quite a bit of sunshine, but it's been getting colder and colder as the day wears on. This is to be expected. It's just what the weather folks told us was going to happen. But nonetheless, it's pretty nippy out there, and the wind continues to blow. We have an update on power outages. There are about 1,500 residents in Butler County without power this afternoon. The majority of those residents are in Butler and in Center Townships. This is the latest from our newsroom. A tree came down on North Duffy Road in Center Township. It has knocked out power to the A.B. Abraham VA Healthcare Center. That's right along Duffy Road, of course, the new healthcare center. It's unclear if this downed tree is responsible for all of the 1,500 outages. Now, the latest from West Penn Power, they hope to have electricity restored by 3 o'clock this afternoon. So, well, that's still 2.5 hours away. And don't be surprised if we end up with some more power outages today. We're expecting this wind to continue whistling out of the west throughout the day today. Steady at around 20 miles an hour, gusting as high as 35 miles an hour, and that is a very stiff breeze. So be alert for that, and if you're driving, especially on some rural roads, country roads, good chance you'll see some branches down here and there, even small branches due to the winds, and hopefully not too many more power outages. We'll keep you posted on that situation in Center and in Butler Townships, but right now, got quite a few people out of service, including the A.B. Abraham VA Healthcare Center. Coming up on the program today, boy, it's been a good week here on It's Your Turn. We've had some great guests and a wonderful conversation yesterday with local attorney Joe Kekskometi and Ask the Lawyer Day. Coming up today, in just a few minutes, we're going to be chatting by telephone connection up in Boston with our initial guest today. She is Jane Healy, and she has written about, I must tell you, about a group of young women during World War II that I had never heard of before, the Red Cross Clubmobile Girls. Anybody else ever heard of them? I had not, no. But it's quite a wonderful story, and I'm anxious to chat with Jane about that. Again, we'll be chatting with her in just a few minutes. Later on the program today, Stan Kosciuszko joins us, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Coming up next week, just a reminder, Rocky Blyer will be with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. So that kind of completes our Steeler football doubleheader here. Last week, we talked with Bill Hillgrove, a longtime radio play-by-play voice of the Steelers, also of the Pitt Panthers, by the way. Great conversation with Bill Hillgrove. And now we get to chat with Rocky Blyer. Rocky Blyer wrote about his story in Vietnam quite a few years ago, a book called Fighting Back. I don't know exactly when. We'll ask Rocky when he visits with us on Tuesday. But there's a newly revised and expanded edition. I guess Gene Collier, the very talented writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, has helped Rocky expand his story and add some stuff. So I'm anxious to find out about that. I've not seen a copy of it yet. And actually, it'll be the first time I've been able to interview Rocky Blyer. Talked with him a couple of times on the phone, setting things up, but I'll be anxious to talk with him next week. That'll be Tuesday of next week for Rocky Blyer. Okay, going to take a break here, and then we'll get hooked up and get ready to talk with Jane Healy about the Beantown Girls. It's coming up here on the Friday, the sunny, windy, and chilly Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
Have the thoughts of becoming a caregiver for your parents been on your mind a lot lately? Maybe you're thinking about your own life in a few years. Pretty overwhelming, and you don't know where to turn. Let me suggest attorney Michael Pater. He handles each account like they were his own mom and dad. For elder law issues, wills, power of attorney, living wills, trusts, and more, call attorney Michael Pater at the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center, downtown Butler, at 287-7724. Representing individuals, families, and businesses for over 26 years is attorney Michael Pater, 287-7724.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby is not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 south at Thorncrest Drive. I think we have a great novel to talk about, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is author Jane Healy, who joins us to talk about The Beantown Girls. First of all, Jane, hello. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, nice to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Ever since I heard about your book, The Beantown Girls, I have been anxious to chat with you. I'm a bit of an amateur historian about World War II, and that's where your book is set, right? That's the era.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it's based on the true stories of the Red Cross Club Mobile Girls in the European Theater of Operations during World War II.
The Red Cross Club Mobile Girls, did you say?
Yes. And, you know, if you're like a lot of people, or like me, I had never heard of these women before. And, when I stumbled upon a picture of them on Pinterest, actually, I thought, what is a club mobile? And it turns out it was basically the military came to the Red Cross and said, it's wonderful you have these huge clubs in the cities, in the major cities in Europe, but we need more for the guys out in the field. What can you do? And they came up with the idea of Red Cross clubs on wheels, staffed by usually three women, and they would go at or to the front lines of the war and serve coffee and donuts and play music and hand out cigarettes and candy and really just try to boost morale by, you know, bringing a little bit of home to the troops at the front.
Well, I must confess, I'm pretty well read on World War II, particularly European theater. And I knew the USO, of course, and the Red Cross, of course. I had never heard of the Red Cross Club Mobile Girls until I got a review copy of your book.
Yeah, it's incredible that they haven't been recognized more in history, to be honest. I feel like their stories have been kind of forgotten, and that was one of the things that intrigued me about the story.
The lead character, well, actually, there are three of them, but let's talk a little bit about one character in particular, Fiona Denning. Who is Fiona?
So Fiona Denning is from Boston, as are her two best friends, and that's part of why the reason that it's called the Beantown Girls, because Beantown is one of Boston's nicknames. And she's, you know, kind of really driven and ambitious, and working at the mayor's office in the city of Boston when her fiancé goes missing in the war. His plane is shot down in Germany, and she doesn't know anything more than that. And so she's kind of devastated and adrift and feeling lost, and sees a ad when she goes to the movies, a film reel about these Club Mobile girls in Europe and how they're recruiting all over the U.S. for them, and she decides to apply and go over there and ultimately try to find out what happened to him, but she kind of keeps that a secret at first from her friends.
Mm-hmm. And she recruits a couple of her pals to go with her?
Yeah, she recruits her two best friends, Viv and Dottie. Viv is working at an advertising agency, very talented artist, but really just working as a secretary, and as it was in those days, you know, very hard for a woman to get ahead in a lot of fields, but definitely in advertising. So she's feeling kind of bored with her job and her life, and so she decides to apply, and then they both convince Dottie, who's a music teacher, and has, you know, wonderful musical talents, that could help her get into the, could help her fill the role. They convince her, even though she's pretty shy, to come with them and go on this adventure.
Can you imagine a young woman, or three young women in this case, deciding to do this during World War II? The height of battle was still going on, raging across Europe. Can you imagine them?
You know, the more I read these stories, and the more I was amazed. I'm like, how did they do this? And I think some of them just felt desperate to do something. You know, they had their brothers and their best friends and their fiancés and husbands all going to war, and they felt like they were stuck at the home front, you know, knitting hats or whatever, you know, whatever role they could do at home, but they were desperate to do something more because they were young and able, and this opportunity came along, and they jumped at it.
Well, I'm sure most of our listeners have heard of, Rosie the Riveter, the iconic woman who went to work in a factory when most of the men were overseas. I read several years ago, and I can't believe I'd never thought of this before. We were cranking out tens of thousands of planes for the war effort here in the United States. Most of the boys, the flyers, were already overseas, and I'd never wondered about how they got these new planes to Europe. Well, you know how they did it? They had women flyers. I mean, obviously they didn't participate in combat back then, but they're the ones that flew these brand-new planes to Europe. And until I read that several years ago, I'd never given it a thought.
I know. Isn't it amazing, these stories of these women? That was when I said that about the women on the home front, not to discount the efforts of the women on the home front, which there were many. But yeah, these stories that, you know, I mean, that's extraordinary that those women flew those planes. And yet, I've never heard that story before. And, you know, one of my friends actually just wrote a book about them called The Spitfire Girls. And I had never heard about them either. And these lesser-known stories of women in the war effort, I think, really deserve to be celebrated, you know, and they're so fascinating.
You have an actual date for your... And by the way, The Beantown Girls is what we call historical fiction, listeners. I mean, there really were, obviously, Red Cross Club Mobile girls, but our guest Jane Healy is using that as a basis for her novel, The Beantown Girls. You set an actual date for your action, 1944, right?
I did, and that was based on my research. I set, you know, July, August 1944. The Club Mobile Girl program had grown so successful that they did a huge recruiting effort in the U.S. and started sending more girls over, so that, because originally it started out, the Club Mobiles were primarily in the United Kingdom, but after D-Day they started sending them to the continent. So that's why I chose the latter part of the war, when there was a real push for Club Mobile girls and Club Mobiles to go to the continent.
Yeah, and your timing is perfect, because after D-Day, it took a while for the Allies to break out of Normandy. It was tough sledding for a while, and then eventually they did break out and they started moving across occupied France. But it was in the summer of 1944 that they really started to move, and this would have been prior to the Battle of the Bulge at Bastogne in Luxembourg, which took place that winter. December of 1944. So the date that you've picked for the setting for your novel is spot on. That's just where it would have happened.
Yes, exactly. And there was the women, you know, I did a lot of different research, but the women of Europe, the European Club Mobile Girl women, the women who served over there, were meticulous in their diaries and their letters home and their journals, and they just really brought to life in those documents what they experienced. And So that, I mean, they gave me my story. It was such a gift. I went to Harvard University, has an amazing library called the Schlesinger Library, and they have all these archived materials of American women's history, and they had 13 boxes of letters and diaries and ration cards and pictures, and they even had a uniform of all Club Mobile girls archived material. And so these women gave me my timeline. They gave me sort of their trajectory of where they went all over the European theater, including the Battle of the Bulge is a really big part of the book, actually. And I didn't know much about that battle until I wrote this story.
Coldest winter that Europe had experienced in decades. That December of 1944 and into January of 45, brutal weather during the Battle of the Bulge. So the Red Cross Club Mobile girls wore uniforms. That's depicted on the cover of your book, actually.
They did. They wore uniforms. They had sort of dress uniforms that, of course, were skirts and little jackets, and they had to wear, you know, high heels. But then for the field, they had heavier wool jackets and pants, which they called clown suits. Some of them didn't love them, but they kept them warm, and and they did the job. So
I can only guess how the young men, and they were all very young at that time, how they must have looked forward to the arrival.
Yeah, they really were, and they were very young. And I, you know, it was one of the things that was interesting is the Club Mobile Girl program to become a Club Mobile Girl. It was it was a sophisticated recruitment campaign, and they only chose one out of six women, and they had to be over 25 years old and educated with some work experience. And I think that was by design because the troops that they served were often just out of high school, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. So these women were, you know, professionals and also kind of big sisters to the soldiers at the front.
Older women, for goodness sakes, in their mid-20s.
Yes, older women. Older women. 25, 26. not so old. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting as well.
Hey, folks, we have a few more minutes to chat with, what a wonderful guest, Jane Healy. We need to take a break. We're talking about her a novel, historical fiction. It's entitled The Beantown Girls. Beantown, one word, The Beantown Girls. We'll pick up our conversation with Jane here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Go On Postal and Butler is the area's leader for convenient shipping. You simply give them the item you want to ship, and they handle the rest. How easy is that? And they can help you with your Valentine's Day shopping, too. They've got a selection of Pflugers chocolates, Valentine's Day cards, and locally produced honey. If you need to ship something for Valentine's Day, your first and only stop is Go On Postal Butler between Kings and Villa Grande restaurants on Shockey Lane, just off Newcastle Road in Butler.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey, and on this segment of the It's Your Turn program, we're talking with author Jane Healy about her novel, The Beantown Girls. This is not your first novel, Jane. You wrote an earlier book as well. What was that?
That one was called The Saturday Evening Girls Club, and it was also based on it's fiction, but based on a true story in history about this group of Jewish and Italian immigrant women in Boston's North End at the turn of the 20th century. And they created this club to support each other, and also the librarian in the North End and a philanthropist, Helen Starrow. We have Starrow Drive in Boston, for those of you who have been here, was a very well-known philanthropist, and they brought in professors and doctors and lawyers all from all over the city and gave these women kind of an informal higher education. And they were really, well, as a group, they were well ahead of their time. I mean, this is, we're talking 1908. So, I wrote that story, came out almost exactly 2 years ago.
Saturday Evening Girls Club. Is that still in print, Jane? Is that still available?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to your current novel, The Beantown Girls. How did you discover these Red Cross Club Mobile girls? Did you stumble upon it accidentally while you were reading, or did somebody tell you about it? How'd that happen?
It was really one of those happy accidents. I was searching for my next story, and I had always been fascinated with World War II history. My grandfather was in the Navy, on Navy ships in Europe and Africa. He was a firefighter in World War II. And I had originally been interested in things that were happening here in Boston in World War II, including there was several thousand POWs, Italian POWs, on islands off the coast in Boston Harbor, which I thought was kind of an interesting angle, and I started going down that route. But I came across this picture of four women in a field, and I didn't recognize their uniforms, but it was clear they were wearing uniforms, and they were kind of all laughing and jostling with each other. And the caption underneath was you know, somewhere in England, I can't remember exactly where, and Red Cross Club Mobile Girls. You know, it was, I think it was March 1944 or something like that. And that is what, you know, piqued my interest, because, as I said, I had never heard of these women. And I had to start, you know, chasing down that story.
Interesting when you mentioned Italian POWs taken prisoner by Americans were held on islands off the coast of Boston. I never knew that before.
Yeah, there's several islands in Boston Harbor, and so they set up, you know, it was prisons, but it was you know, camps basically, and this is where they put all these Italian POWs. And then when Italy switched sides in the war, many of the POWs started to work with the Allies, but some of them didn't. Some of them were not, you know, were not happy about the turn in the war. So but if you decide to work with the Allies, your fate was much better here in Boston. So it was really interesting.
By the way, here in western Pennsylvania, we had a camp that was set up near the Allegheny National Forest for German POWs, Germans who had been captured in Europe and then brought to the United States as prisoners, and they were held at a camp here in western Pennsylvania. Fascinating stuff when you dig into the history of World War II, isn't it, Jane, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I didn't even know there were POWs over here. You know, I remember reading about the Germans when I was reading about the Italian POWs in Boston, because I think there was another camp of German POWs, like, in the Midwest. And some of these POWs fell in love with local women. And, you know, there's some really interesting stuff, interesting stories.
Let me ask you a little bit about the writing of this book. Your lead character, Fiona Denning, has two friends, Viv and Dottie, that she convinces to go with her. Do you happen to have three friends that you were drawing upon for research or background here, Jane?
You know, that is such a great question. I get that question quite a bit with my other novel as well, which is about four friends. And I have, you know, a group of close friends from my high school days and, you know, many, many years ago that I'm still tight with. But all my characters are so much, by the time I start writing about them, they're so much who they are. They have nothing really to do with anyone I know in real life. And some of my friends ask, I'm like, no, it's not you. Don't worry, I'm not writing about you. It's fun to get that question, though.
I know when I was introduced to your characters, and by the way, folks, we're talking about the Beantown Girls, in case you're joining us a little bit late here on It's Your Turn Today, written by Jane Healy, who chats with us by phone from, in case you haven't guessed by now, Boston. You have Fiona, you've got Viv, and you've got Dottie. When I first heard of Dottie, you know, we're talking about strong women here, strong women characters. First thing that popped into my mind was the Dottie character in the great film A League of Their Own. Remember that? The women professional baseball players during World War II?
I adore that movie. And in fact, my agent pitched this book as A League of Their Own meets Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
And
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Dottie was a pretty popular name back then. I just love the name.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm not the only one that League of Their Own popped into their mind when I started reading your book. Did it take you a long time to write this? Obviously, it was a labor of joy. How long did it take you, Jane?
Well, you know, for the proposal, which was for my publisher, was I had to provide three chapters and a synopsis, and I spent, you know, probably 6 months doing research and putting together outline, synopsis, three chapters, and then when they agreed, you know, when they gave me my contract, I had another 6 months to write the rest of the story. So it took me, you know, 6 months to finish it, and it was a tighter deadline than I realized when I signed the contract. My agent was like, "You want to push back and get in a couple more months?" I'm like, "No, this is fine. I can do this," because I was so psyched to write the story. But it was intense. It was an intense 6 months. We had a lot of takeout in my house and a lot of long weekends working at the library and stuff.
You mentioned that your grandfather had served in World War II. My dad served in World War II. He was so young, it just frightens me to think about it.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. These young men went over there, and you wonder how they did it. You know, how they did it without... you think about how... You know, I have a 15-year-old daughter. I can't imagine 3 years from now her going off to war. It's just incredible.
Well, I can hardly imagine my dad doing it either. He was a... he was in the 82nd Airborne. He jumped into Normandy the night before D-Day and was subsequently, about a week later, captured and spent the rest of the war in a POW camp.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Amazing.
I actually went to... I'm talking your ear off here. I'm sorry. I went to Normandy several years ago because I was researching, you know, my father's story. And wow. How sobering was that to be? I spent about a week in the Normandy, Utah Beach, you know, that area, the Cotentin Peninsula. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Did you ever go to Europe to do any research, or were you able to find what you needed at the Harvard Library?
I really wanted to, but the time was so tight, and I felt like I had been to... Aside from Bastogne, I had been to pretty much everywhere in the story. So I felt like, okay, I had the perspective of these, what these places are like in real life. And then I relied on pictures and my research at Harvard. And, you know, there's some amazing old photos now online pretty much everywhere of that time and those places that were also extremely helpful.
Let me ask you one more question. If you could have readers take one thing away from your book, The Beantown Girls, what would that be, Jane Healy?
Well, first, I think just learning about these women, and I hope the story honors these women properly, the Red Cross Club Mobile Girls. And also, you know, this is a story about three friends who changed their minds about their future and their future possibilities, and it changed the trajectory of their lives forever. And I think that's a good message for life, too.
I'm into that. It's a good read, folks. Historical fiction, but based on real events, certainly real events, and a real organization, the Red Cross Club Mobile Girls. Title of the book is The Beantown Girls, Jane Healy. If you're looking for her online, it's H-E-A-L-E-Y, Jane Healy. Jane, what a delight to chat with you today. Thanks for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is really fun. Thank you, Dave.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna, from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. First segment of It's Your Turn complete. Stan Kosciuszko joins us next. He's the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. And Stan, you were listening to my conversation with Jane Healy. Wasn't that fascinating?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go out and look for that book.
I had never heard of the Red Cross Club Mobile Girls. I thought she made it up, and no, something that actually happened in World War II. Delightful. Well, we were
what courage they had in those days.
Oh, can you imagine young women? I think she said they were usually 24, 25, volunteering to go to Europe.
The maturity level of human beings is just astounding.
Drive these trucks to the front lines, you know, just to bring some goodies and a smile to the troops. It was incredible.
Going to a country where they didn't speak the language.
Absolutely.
They had no idea what was going on. Plus, there are bombs going off over their heads.
Yeah, and machine guns and everything else.
It's amazing.
I just can't believe I'd never heard of them before. So wonderful.
The resiliency of mankind.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful story. Well, Stan is visiting with us, a regular visitor.
Thanks for switching my day.
Well, that's quite all right.
Yeah. I had one of my leadership days on Tuesday. It was government day. It was really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The leadership group, well into their year now, huh? I can probably see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I think they'll be joining me in the next, because they're starting their fundraiser. They've chosen a project, and I don't want to burst their bubble and take their thunder. So.
Excellent. Well, we got a lot of stuff going on with the chamber. I like the last email I got from you that said, is it February already? And now here we are a week into February, for goodness sakes.
And it's going to be March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we come out of this coming weekend. Start next week, we'll be approaching the middle of February, which is fine with me, quite frankly. It doesn't bother me at all.
That's right. That's right. We're planning our Employee Appreciation Day, which is April 16th. April 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Sherry Kine, because they sponsored along with Medora's Catering, I said, what's the theme we should use? Well, let's do Easter. Let's have an Easter theme because it's right before Easter. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, we're pushing Easter already.
Yeah, so, and Easter's late this year, too.
Correct.
You know, I mean, Ash Wednesday, it's still almost a month away till Ash Wednesday, start of Lent.
So I'm well into my March events already. You know, February, they're all handled.
Well, tell us a little bit about Employee Appreciation Day. What's that all about?
Yeah, Employee Appreciation Day, we do that once a year. This is our silver anniversary for that. It's the 25th year.
Wow.
And that's where we have a really nice luncheon sponsored by the Atrium, Medora's, Butler Eagle. Then Butler Health System and Moses Jewelers sponsor the Employee of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're accepting nominations for Employee of the Year. We've gotten some already. And then we give that award at that luncheon. A lot of door prizes. Everyone gets a prize. We don't sell raffle tickets for that. It's only $25 for the luncheon. And it's always a really nice, nice afternoon.
So companies take some of their employees.
We encourage companies to get a table and take their employees.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice way to recognize them, have an affordable lunch for your whole staff. Plus, you get to network with other people. So, you know, it's nice to see somebody who works at the courthouse see somebody that works at the hospital and, oh, there's my sister works here and my brother works there. And so it's a nice, nice social event for Butler County employees.
You have quite a bit of Sandler training coming up here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, March is where we start our series. We start our educational series, which is Sandler, and that starts on March 6th. So that starts Wednesday, March 6th. And what we decided to do this year, the board decided, instead of doing a one-hour tickler on a subject, we're going to do a half-day seminar on a subject. We've limited it to 20 attendees. That way Dan Hudak can really concentrate on everyone's needs. Mm-hmm. And the first one is a sales workshop. That's March 6th. The second one, which is in May, May 1st, is a leadership and management workshop. And then the third one that's on Wednesday, the October 2nd, is a customer service workshop. So they're being hosted by the Spring Hill Suites, Marriott, Butler Center City. So Adriana Bly is hosting all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the breakfast will be nice. The continental breakfast they do down there is spectacular.
The atmosphere will be nice. That, facility that is hotel nice. Is absolutely
is
gorgeous.
Beautiful. The conference room is exceptional, and she'll be giving everyone a parking voucher so they can park in the parking garage. And then they'll get a parking voucher so they don't have to pay.
What exactly is Sandler training? This is specialized.
Sandler training is specialized training for business people, mm-hmm. and it's business topics. They concentrate on things such as I just mentioned, sales, leadership, customer service, but from a business perspective, how to perform sales. Somebody will ask me, Stan, what's the main part of your job? Sales and PR. I'm selling the chamber and I'm selling my chamber membership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a door-to-door salesman, but you are selling something. And most businesses, the person that answers the phone is selling the company. So this will give them tips on how everything really relates to sales, selling yourself or selling your services. And Sandler has been in business for quite a long time. Dan Hudak's been doing it for us he's been doing it for us for a long time. I think since 2002, he's been doing these for us. And so not only is it a good service to my chamber members, but we make some money on it also through sponsorships. Our main sponsor is Next Tier Bank.
You can attend one or all?
You can attend one or all of them,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And I encourage anyone who's listening out there, if you log on to the chamber website, which I have to give a plug to Tom Graham from Frames and Pixels, our chamber website, I no sooner think of something that it's on our homepage. He does such a phenomenal job. But you can download the flyer for this. It is limited to 20 people. And we have, I think, 9 of the slots filled already. So if you're out there listening and you think these topics are of interest to you, please call the chamber and make your reservation for $40 a session. If you go somewhere else, if you went to downtown Pittsburgh, it would be $400 a session at least to do these types.
So the first one is a sales workshop.
Sales
and that's
workshop,
coming up
yeah.
March 6th. And mm-hmm. then leadership and management, which could be... that could apply to a lot of people, even nonprofits. You know?
Even nonprofits, yeah.
And then a customer service workshop,
mm-hmm.
making sure that your customers are always happy.
Yeah, and the sales is how to build and sustain a relationship. So that's what you're doing with your customers. You know, leadership is you can be a supervisor, you can be a coach, you can be a trainer, you can be a mentor, you can be a mother, you can be a father. You have to have leadership skills. And then, mm-hmm. of course, customer service is how to empower your people, how to empower your staff. So that whatever they do, they have customer service, good customer service in the back of their mind. So I was hoping Dan would be here today, but of course he's out making money, which is what a chamber promotes.
Absolutely.
Our main priority is capitalism. So if you're going to go out and get a contract or come and be on the radio with Stan, that takes priority. So I appreciate, and we really appreciate Dan. We've had him on the show a couple times before. He's a wonderful, wonderful presenter.
Were you able to hold the health and wellness thing, or was that wiped out by the weather?
Well, no, the health, wealth, wellness was exceptional. Now, the nice part about that was the week before was the bitter cold.
Mm-hmm.
People ended up getting cabin fever. So on Friday, when it warmed up a little bit, the mall was jam-packed. And on Saturday, it was exceptional. So I even surprised myself. I was looking around, and I thought, wow. I told the vendors, It's always a crapshoot. You don't know who's going to attend. So you can't, and you've done enough trade shows and events like that. It could be 10 people. It could be 10,000. You don't know.
And the weather being a huge variable.
The weather is a huge variable, yeah. But the show was nice. We were at capacity again, and thanks to the Humane Society, they brought some just beautiful puppies out there that were well-trained, and people love that. And a lot of the vendors had really nice raffle baskets and a lot of nice giveaways. So the everyone I surveyed said that was a success for them. So as long as they keep coming back, I'm happy. Yeah.
We're talking with Stan Kosciuszko. He's the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, visiting with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. Reminder, coming up next week, our leadoff guest on Tuesday is going to be Rocky Blyer, the former Steeler running back, who has just come out with a newly expanded and revised edition of his book, Fighting Back, which he wrote, gosh, long, long time ago. But I guess he got some help from Gene Collier, the Post-Gazette writer. I was talking
that
to Rocky.
That book had to be 25 years ago.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, that was the story of, you know, him being wounded in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I think he was saved by a comrade who, you know, carried
him
out.
He's a wonderful guest speaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he'll be with us next Tuesday. So mark that on your calendar for It's Your Turn on Tuesday. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller Shoes. 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, a mainstay on Main Street for well over a century now. In fact, over 125 years. Pretty amazing. You know, we've got some more bad weather coming. I hope I'm not surprising anybody with that. It has already turned colder, and you better believe we'll see the snow coming yet. And, of course, when you get into very late winter and early spring, you've got the slush and the mush. If you're looking for overshoes, I needed a pair just a year or so ago because mine split open. And I went down and said, Jimmy Chipperan, I need overshoes. And he looked down and said, okay. Went and got a box, the exact size I needed. All he did was look at my feet and brought them back. And he said, here you go, the Cadillac of overshoes. And they really are great. They're soft rubber. They're easy to put on, and they protect your shoes from the, you know, the salt and the wet and everything else that, you know, we're going to be dealing with here as we move into late winter and early spring. Or maybe you just like some boots. They have a variety of toe warmers, boots and totes. They've got Timberland shoes and boots. They've got Rockports, all famous name brand shoes.
And they carry the whole line of New Balance.
That's right. You like New Balance?
Oh, I love New Balance, and they're really affordable down there. Their prices actually are less than
I
going
love them
to Dick's.
Too. Yeah. I started wearing them several years ago on there.
Yeah.
Well, that's one brand. Maybe that's not yours. That's no problem because they've got pretty much all the big name brands of athletic shoes at Miller's for the whole family too. So stop in, take a look, say hello to Jimmy and the Chipperians. 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, a tradition for generations here in the Butler area. And that's no lie. That's true. A tradition for generations of families. Miller's Shoes. They're also your headquarters for local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes for men and women. SAS, American made and oh so comfy. At Miller's Shoes.
When the time comes, the last thing you need to concern yourself with is planning the funeral. It's the wrong time, your time of grieving, when your emotions come to the surface. You just can't think straight. You just can't. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler suggests that you pre-plan the funeral. Make all of the choices now while you're still emotionally able to. The funeral service, the casket, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church services or not. All of these decisions. Avoid all of that. Pre-plan now. Make those decisions now while you can think clearly and rationally. Think about it, and then talk it over with us at Thompson Miller. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or www.thompson-miller.com. Pre-arrangement. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, folks. We're chatting with Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, visiting with us. We want to give you another update from the newsroom. About 1,500 customers of West Penn Power in Butler County are without power this afternoon. The majority of those residents in Butler and in Center Townships. A tree came down on North Duffy Road in Center Township, and it has knocked out power to the big Abraham VA Healthcare Center. And we're not quite sure how long it's going to be out. The latest from West Penn is they hope to have service restored by 3 o'clock this afternoon, but that's still better part of 2 hours away. And by the way, it's unclear if this downed a tree on North Duffy is responsible for all of those outages, but West Penn reporting 1,000 500 outages at this time. Not surprising given the wind. It is really windy out there.
The wind, and then it got cold. You know, you go to bed last night, it's 60. You wake up, it's 22. With a wind chill of 17, it's crazy.
You know, I was awakened by a gust of wind about 1 o'clock, and I checked the temperature because I knew that it was, you know, going to be dropping. It was still almost 60 degrees. It was 59 degrees at 1 o'clock this morning.
Unbelievable.
And you know, now we're down in the 20s. We were down to the freezing mark by 8 o'clock this morning.
I know. I know.
And
I could tell how cold it was. My dog came back in this morning, and her fur was just frozen. I thought, oh, boy.
Well, the good news is that the rain stopped finally. Can you imagine how much snow we'd have had over the past 2 days if it had been...
And what that ice would have done to the trees. Yeah, that's why they're all down.
It would have been worse. But do watch out for the wind, and if you're driving, watch out, you know, for debris on roadways, because we have wind gusts up to 35 miles an hour, so that can be blowing trash and trash cans and, yeah, tree branches, too, down on the roads and streets, so be careful.
And the fog. Driving home last night was a nightmare. Rained and fog and dark.
You know, when you think about the weather we've had in just the past 2 days, it is amazing.
Yeah. That's why the weather forecasters in Pittsburgh on the Pittsburgh stations will say, if you don't like the weather, wait an hour.
Well, ordinarily, we don't get these incredible swings until, you know, another month or so. It's usually late March, early April. So what else is going on with the Butler County Chamber of Commerce? You have a series of Meet and Move luncheons coming
March
up?
March is when my Meet and Move luncheons start, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I do this to myself, Dave. But anyway, I must have a masochistic streak in me.
What are the Meet and Move luncheons?
The Meet and Move luncheons that we've been doing for many years, 15 years at least, since I started there at the Chamber. It's a series of luncheons, and instead of so many business people out there, you go to a function and you sit at a table of eight people, and they're very pleasant, and you get to meet them. But they may not be the people that you're looking to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we give businesses the opportunity to meet with three groups of eight business people. So you have salad at one table. Everyone discusses what they do. They do their elevator speech. Then we go to a different table for the main course. You get to meet eight new people. And then a third table for dessert. So you actually get to meet that many business people. It's proved to be very, very successful. It's kind of like speed networking, like speed dating.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a little more time to do that. We have a moderator at each table. And we also have sponsors, business sponsors for these luncheons that do a brief presentation at the beginning. So the first one we're doing is at Concordia Lutheran Ministries, sponsored by Consolidated Communications. And we do that with the Ellie Kiske Strong Chamber in Armstrong County. That's the newly combined chamber they combined 3 years ago. And so that gives my chamber members exposure to a whole new regional market. Very nice luncheon. And it's at Concordia Lutheran Ministries in their dining room, which is beautiful. The food is always exceptional. Their catering service does a nice job. And if anyone wants to attend that, they can contact the Chamber of Commerce. The luncheons are $30 each if you reserve all. This year we're doing five of them. We usually only did four. This year we're doing five. The next one will be in Elwood City at Shakespeare's at Old Stonewall. And that one will be done with the Elwood City area, the Beaver County Chamber, and the Lawrence County Chambers of Commerce.
Don't have to talk about the atmosphere at that place. It's like going into a medieval castle.
And since it's in May, the golf pro, who is Swedinsky from Butler.
Sean, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he gives a special discount to any of my attendees that want to golf.
Excellent.
So we encourage people to bring their clubs and their shoes, and if the weather's nice, he will let you golf for an extremely reasonable price.
Sean Swedinsky's a nice guy.
He's a very nice gentleman, very nice gentleman. So that's the one in May. And then the other ones, there's one in July, which is going to be at Tanglewood Center. So we've never had one right in Butler. I always travel so far around the county that I forgot about Butler. My board said, why don't we do one in Butler? I said, okay, I have time for another luncheon. So we'll do that one. And then October is up in Grove City at Grove City College. And then November is the one we do with the Pittsburgh North Chamber and Tourism, and that's at the Pittsburgh Marriott.
Well, what an opportunity to meet and network with really a tremendous number of other business people.
We give you exposure to, you know, 60 new businesses that you would not have known before. And we're such a global and regional economy that who's to say that somebody in Grove City is not going to contact a supplier in Butler? Maybe they've been getting something shipped in from California or New Jersey, and they find out, wow, I could drive, you know, 20 miles south, and they'll supply this for me. So that's my job, is to promote my members, and whatever way I can do it, I want to do that. And the other thing we have going on is to promote my members is our new membership directory that's coming out. We're the only chamber that I know of that actually does a printed membership directory. It's a booklet. It's beautiful. I know you guys get one here. It's direct mailed to 6,000 businesses. And so we're working on that membership directory.
Oh, it lists all the members of the chambers.
Lists all the members of the chambers. We cross-reference them by type of business, by the person in charge, and then by a category. So they're in there three times. And then all the chamber membership is in there, all of our events, my board of directors, the different affiliates, who belongs to the different affiliates, they're all in there. And then there is advertising in there also.
Well, what a service. Because I think most people, all other things being equal, you know, if a business needs something, whether it's a product or a service, they'd like to deal with local people.
Correct.
You know, why deal with someone in Mansfield, Ohio, or Harrisburg, if you can deal with someone here in Butler County?
You're 100% right. And also, people have to remember the Chamber of Commerce is a private organization. So we don't accept all businesses as members. We don't just open our doors and say, here, line up, we're going to take you all as members. Mm-hmm. Somebody submits a membership application, it's reviewed, and then we accept that membership or we decline that membership. So if they're on our membership directory, if they're on our website, you know they've been vetted. And you also know that business knows that we'll go to bat for them. If someone has a complaint, rather than going to the Better Business Bureau or the Attorney General's office, call the chamber, and Stan will contact that business and say, listen, I got this call from Mrs. Smith, and we need to resolve this issue now, and we do that. So it's a nice service that we do, and it's a vetting process for the business. So when somebody calls and says we're looking for an attorney, I tell them, go to our website, go to the list of attorneys. They're all involved in the chamber. We support them. You know, they have been vetted. So, and it works in all the other aspects, too. Contractors, heating and air conditioning, advertising, consultants.
That new directory is ready to come out?
The directory will be out in April. The deadline for advertising in it is March. So you have to be a chamber member to advertise in it and to be listed in there. So if anybody's been on the fence about joining the chamber, get in touch with me within the next couple of weeks, because you have to be a chamber member, dues-paying chamber member, to be in that directory.
So how often do you publish it?
Once a year.
Oh.
Once a year. And the way it's sent out, the Butler Eagle does it for me. The directory is beautiful. And they put it in a plastic sheath when they mail it out. So you can see it. It's multicolor. Every page is full color. It's really a beautiful directory. And I don't know why more chambers don't do this directory.
Seems like, you know, such a valuable resource.
Yeah. It's like my newsletter. I'm the only chamber that does a printed newsletter. I have nothing against e-newsletters. I get a lot of them. I send out an e-blast every week. But the business people, my board, are telling me that we like to have that newsletter. We keep it on our desk, and we may not have a chance to read it all the same day.
Mm-hmm.
But we look through that, and we share it with somebody. I'll give it to somebody else in the office. I'll highlight something and say, here, Dave, why don't you go to that function? Why don't you do that? Yeah,
I'm the same. I obviously utilize online services a great deal. I'm online half of the day here, but there are certain things that I like to have in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Your newsletter would be a perfect example. I can see that it's online. Maybe I only have 30 seconds at that particular time.
Correct.
Whereas later I can pick it up off my desk. I keep it between a couple of bookends on my desk.
It's definitely worth the expense.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely worth the expense.
Yeah.
And we just do so many things. We're going to be doing some legislative candidates debates this year. I convinced my board we're going to do one for judges. And it's going to be get to know the judges. There are so many people in the race for the Court of Common Pleas.
And there is a vacancy on the Butler County Court of Common Pleas, Marilyn Horan, having left office to become a federal judge. So
yeah. So we'll be doing that one. And then the commissioner's race. So
That's right. County commissioners are up for election this year. It rolls around quickly, doesn't it?
Rolls around quickly. Yeah, it rolls around quickly.
Let's take a final break here. We'll wrap up our conversation with Stan Kosciuszko here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR for a Friday, right after this break.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 60-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 2.24 annual percentage rate. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join. So call today for other rates and terms or visit us at armcocu.com to become a member. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and federally insured by NCUA.
Last year, the YMCA.
Welcome back, good friends. We're chatting with Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. The chamber, for many, many years now, has held a luncheon to honor a community champion, the Community Champion Award Luncheon. It's a very prestigious award, and you've determined who's going to be honored this year. Is it okay to say who it is?
We have selected, and I'm going to let you have the pleasure of announcing it for the first time.
It's the Arc of Butler County will be honored. What a great choice.
Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah.
They do so much.
They join a wonderful lineup, the Butler Little Theater, the Butler Symphony, Butler YMCA. So many people have won that.
I know the Little Theater has their award framed and hanging in the lobby for everyone to see whenever they come to the theater.
And we're proud of these organizations because they perform such a valuable service. And they perform a service for the business community. ARC does our mailings for us. They stuff our newsletter. ARC also does the cleaning in our building for StanTech. So every evening their crew comes, and it's people that need the job. They need that, you know, somebody to guide them to do that, and it's just wonderful. If you ever tour their facility down there, it's great. That's where I buy my citronella candles. I buy the kindling for my
fire pit. We got wood down there, a lot of other things, too. Wow, a great
John
choice.
John is really needs to be congratulated, and he was all excited. Now, if you're on his board and he hasn't told you yet, John, I apologize. But I wanted Dave to – I know Dave's always been supportive of this one, so I wanted him to have the honor of announcing
The luncheon won't be until July. There'll be plenty of time to make reservations if you want to attend. But we wanted to announce it here today. The 2019 Community Champion Award, the ARC of Butler County. Wonderful choice. Well, Stan, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by here today.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Sure, sure.
And I'll see you in March.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. I may have to reschedule that one. I think I have so, but I'll call you in more than 24 hours.
Coming up on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn, what do we have? I have some open talk time. Among our guests will be Sean Talladay, who's the executive director of the Meckling-Shakely Veterans Center. We'll find out what that's all about and what they do. They also have a fundraiser coming up, so we'll be talking with Sean on Monday. As we mentioned, Rocky Blyer will be with us on Tuesday, and we have lots of other guests scheduled next week as well. So that'll wrap up our program for today. And we thank our earlier guest, Jane Healy. If you missed the title of her book, a wonderful book on the Red Cross Clubmobile Girls in World War II, and the title of the book is the Beantown Girls, the Beantown Girls. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Monday, 12:30, for It's Your Turn here on WISR.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Dog.